We're going to start Perek Vav. What page? 202? 302 at the bottom. Okay. Until now, the Alter Rebbe is explaining that everything is really bottled to Hashem. And this, that we don't feel the bitul talukus, is because of the concept of tzimtzum, and because of the name of Elokim, which conceals over everything. So therefore we don't feel that the world's existing. And because of that, world is not bottled to Hashem, but that level is also part of Hashem, and it's something we can't understand. Now, that doesn't mean, by the way, just there's a whole beer from the Rebbe. It's a phenomenal beer from the Rebbe, which I'm not going into now. But the Rebbe asks a question that the last part of Perek Dalid and Perek Hay seemingly have nothing to do with Shari Yichud V'Amunah. And the Rebbe asks a bunch of questions, and the Rebbe comes out with what the Rebbe is accomplishing in Perek Dalid and Perek Hay. Is the Rebbe's, because the Rebbe asks a very simple question. If the world is really not real, if the world is really bottled to Hashem, and the only reason world is real is because we think it's real, but in reality it's not real because everything is only a lakus, so how do you have the whole concept of Torah mitzvahs? Torah is truth. Torah says you have to make the object holy. So if the question is, if the object is holy, really, anyway, it's just that we don't know it's holy, but really it's holy. So how can Torah really say you have to make an object which is unholy holy if it's holy anyway? So now the Rebbe accomplishes over here in Shari Yichud V'Amunah, according to the Rebbe's explanation, that Tzimtzum is real, it's an entity, it's not that we're blind, it's a realistic situation that the world does really exist. World exists. And even by tzaddikim, who have the eyes to see the Dvar Hashem that's Mechaya the world, nevertheless, as great as they are on their level, world still realistically exists. And like we learned many times in the past, there's a maimon from the Rebbe Marash, the Rebbe Rashab, a lot of places in Chassidus, that they ask a very simple question. An artist, the better the artist, the more realistic the picture looks. You can have an artist that can make a picture look so real that you really think it's real. You know where you see it? If you ever go to those places where they have the pictures, the moving pictures all around the walls, you stand in the middle of a room and all around the wall room is... You know what I'm talking about? It's in Disneyland. See, this is a scholar. Yeah. You stand in a room and there's actually, it's like a movie going. Well, I won't tell you how many years ago was the last time I was in Disneyland. Okay, so you're not such a big scholar. You stand in a room, I'm bringing this out for a point. You stand in a room and there's screens all around and it's moving. Like you see animals moving and it looks mamish, you think that you're mamish moving. So L'cha'eiro, it says, we say right before Ein Kelekeinu, we say Kavel Hashem and we say Ein Tzur Kelekeinu. Ein Tzur Kelekeinu means there's no rock like Hashem, there's no salvation like Hashem. But the Gemara says, don't read it tzur, but read it ein tzayir kalakenu. There's no artist like Hashem. And the Gemara learns, he makes tzura b'teich tzura. But some people say the concept of ein tzayir kalakenu means maybe that Hashem is such a great artist that he makes the world look so real when it's really not even real.
Well, which is it?
In other words, the question is asked in Chassidus, maybe the world is bluff. Maybe it's not. Maybe this whole thing is bluff. Maybe we don't exist. And the fact that we do exist is real, is bluff. So, in Chassidus, it says there's two answers to the question. one from Teresh B'Ksav, and one from Teresh B'Al Peh. The answer from Teresh B'Ksav is, Torah is Emes, and it says, B'Reishis Bara Lekim, that God created the world. If Torah's Emes says Hashem created the world, then the world is real. Secondly, they bring a proof from a Mishnah. If somebody does witchcraft, black magic, if they do witchcraft, so the din is, the Torah says, Mechashef Alei Sechaya, you have to kill them. So the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that there's two types of black magic. There's real black magic, and then there's fake black magic. So the Mishnah says, if you do real witchcraft, you get killed. Ha'eich zinayim, meaning if it's only an optical illusion, it's not real, so then you don't get killed. So Chassidus says, if the world is bluff to begin with, so even real witchcraft is not real, so how do you differentiate between real witchcraft and make-believe witchcraft if the whole world is make-believe? So it's a proof in the Mishnah that the world exists. Dalt Rebbe is saying over here that the truth is that Hashem is concealing himself with himself, and therefore the world is the ray of the sun in the sun, which is only, like we learned in the last few weeks, only the sun itself. But Dalt Rebbe says the accomplishment of the Kalim, of the Tzimtzum, is that the world is becoming an entity, as far as world is concerned. And the Rebbe gives an analogy of this. It's a beautiful, if you want, it's printed in English here in Lessons in Tanya.
What is it, so, as far as the world is concerned? The world exists or exists?
No, one second. I'll give you a mushroom. The Rebbe speaks about the rays of the sun hitting different colored cups. But let's speak in a more practical level, in our terms, so to speak. We learned this already. You line up a bunch of glasses. Red, blue, green, yellow, orange, whatever. And you take water and you pour it into the different colored glasses. When I look at the red glass, it's not make-believe that the water is red. In my perception, with one of the five chushim, the five senses, which makes things exist, what exists in our world? If you can see it, smell it, touch it, you know, hear it, the five senses, that is what makes it exist. If water in a red glass, to me, looks red, as far as my realistic situation is, it's called red. You know that it would go even in the halacha. If somebody would make a shvua that the water is red, it's not a false oath. It's not red as far as what is concerned. No. My reality is that it's red. Because my reality is what I see. What I see is my reality.
And if... reality can be false.
Huh?
Person's reality can be false.
No, what I see is I see.
Well, you're mistaken in what you see.
No, you can't be mistaken what you see. If you saw it, then you see it. If you ask calling somebody else and say, what color is this? They'll tell you red too.
Yeah, but in dreams, you see it.
Let's talk about dreams. Yes. Dreams. Dreams exist in the world of dreams. Let me ask you a question. How do you know what I see is what you see? Maybe what I call red to you is green. But you call it red because that's what you're taught.
Once you
learn
wrong.
No.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what I said.
I don't see. I was looking at what
they might call that same color.
I'm going to call that same color.
No, the rods and cones are switched in their eyes. That's a disorder.
No. No, I'm saying... how do you know that this tablecloth I see is white, right? You and I both call it white. But maybe what I see as white, you see as red. But you call that white, and I call that white. And they're both true.
Okay.
I'll give you another example. Is something big or small?
That's perspective issue.
Is this table big or small? But that's, so what is the reality is? Is it big or small?
Small.
The answer is, compared to what? Compared to a little bug crawling, the table is big. Compared to the rest of the room, the table is small. Both are correct and both are realistic. If I look at the water and to me it looks red, it's red. Even though the water is colorless, it doesn't matter. For me, it's red. Realistically, it's red.
I don't think so.
No, it's a matter of perception.
No, it's a matter of color.
1 minute, let me ask you a question. If I say the water is red, am I a liar?
No, no, because
that means it's true.
The water in the red cup takes on the color
of... If I say the water in the cup is red...
If you see a person laying down, and you say this person is dead, the person maybe just resting is being still... Your perception is the person was dead for the moment, and guess what? You were wrong.
Right, because the guy got up.
Yeah. If I pour the water out of the glass, I can show you. Look.
But while it's in the water, while it's in the red glass, it's red.
No, your perception is wrong. It's not red. Okay,
while it's in the glass, it's red. So therefore, the Rebbe explains, the Rebbe uses it as the rays of the sun hitting different colored glasses, when it looks different colors. Is even though that as far as the ray of the sun, the reality from the ray's perspective, it is colorless. From the onlooker's perspective, it is red and green and yellow. And they're both true. So therefore, the Rebbe writes that Tzimtzum is not only a concealment of God, that it's like nothing but a blockage. It actually is an entity that allows world to feel itself to be a separate entity.
But then we're expected to see, let's say something happens with bad, right? So we are told all the time to take a perspective that's not a physical perspective. If you look at the glass and you see the water and it looks red, to you, being trained, this is not a good thing. But what we are expected to do is to be able to see and from a higher level and know that it's not really like that.
Right. But that's what Torah and Mitzvahs are all about. That even though the world... It's a reality, and the Torah says it's a reality, and your role and the job is to make it into something which is a higher level.
Impossible, because the water is red in the glass. And with every sense, it's red.
It's not impossible. You make it better.
It's red. We perceive because we were given these...
Yeah, but the red is not bad. The tachlis of Torah Mitzvahs... 1 minute. The goal of Torah Mitzvahs is not to make the world disappear. The role of Torah Mitzvahs is to take the red glass and say the red is godly.
No, the red is
not red. No, that the red is godly.
To take something bad and say it's not really bad.
So it depends. Certain things, the Torah says, we have the ability to elevate. Klipas Noga. Shows keeps it Timaeus, the Torah says, don't touch.
I'm talking about things where you don't see the Ishtar hand, you see, you know somewhere that it's there, but you look at hospital, whatever it is, and you don't see that. You see it as in a negative way. You don't see the hand of Hashem in that, right?
So the Aveda of the Jew, the Aveda of the Jew is to say that it's Ezba Lakim. It's the finger of God.
But then it's not real, but the truth is it is real. To our senses, this is the real thing, and the real thing does not have the hand of Hashem in it.
Yes, it does.
Well, I understand, but I'm saying, but we are not, but the reality is not that.
But the reality is for us to reveal, and that's our Aveda, to take something that realistically, no, it doesn't, that's what I'm saying, because the Yid has to bring Havaya, Yudke Vavke, which is higher, and that's what the Rebbe is going to explain later, in Shayach of Amunah, to reveal the level of Yudke Vavke, that in this red, is really the potential to do other things with it.
Yes, but we continue to live in the red. That's what happens.
Most of us live in the red, yes.
But in another way than what that came out. Because you don't see little rays of light suddenly change. The water color doesn't change. So we live in this reality.
This book is holy?
Tanya?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Tanya. Yeah. Is it holy?
Yeah.
Okay. If it falls on the floor, you kiss it? If it falls on the floor, can you leave it on the floor? No. Is this chair holy?
Probably at this point.
Still sitting on the floor. I never saw anybody pick it up.
So
Can you sit on the Tanya? No. Can you sit on the chair? Mm-hmm. Now, is the chair holy?
It has a different purpose.
Can you take?
Family,
can you take? No, I'm bringing out a point. Can you take a Tanya into a bathroom? No. Can you take a chair into the bathroom? Yes. Now, where is there more godliness? What's the difference? What's the difference between this and that? The Tanya, because it was utilized for what Hashem wanted it to do. The definition of Kedusha does not mean, this is contrary to without Chassidus belief, so to speak, Kedusha does not mean a place where there's more godliness.
It's more revealed.
It's revealed. We don't see it. And our job is to utilize the chair as the chair. You know, the chair is not going to become holy. The chair, no matter how many times you learn on it, is still going to be permitted to be taken into the bathroom. Because certain things, but we still elevate the chair by sitting on it and learning with it. And the power of the power of mitzvahs is that the Jew has the ability to reveal the level of godliness that's in it.
You don't have to see it. It still looks like a chair.
Do you see this as holy? You ask me, is it a Tanya? If it's holy, you should be able to see it. Sparking. Tzaddik, in fact, I could see it. On a certain level. Because there's godliness revealed in it. It is. That's what makes it holy. Now, you and I don't see it because we're blind. That doesn't mean the paper is not holy. When Mashiach comes, our eyes are going to open up. We're going to see the Kedusha that this has.
So it's not revealed.
So it is revealed, not to me. But it is revealed. Because the paper before Tanya was written on it, or before any sefer was written on it, it wasn't revealed to the paper either. As far as world's existence goes. The job of the Jew is to reveal the level of godliness which is hidden in the world. How is that done? By doing mitzvahs. You reveal, meaning, Hashem made the world. Yesh miyayin, something from nothing. Right? Now, something from nothing doesn't mean the world came from nothing, because the world, if anything, is nothing, and God is something. Correct?
You said the world was something before.
In our eyes, which is a reality.
See?
But, no, it's not. Okay, does everybody know what the expression Yesh Miayin means? Something from nothing. God created the world. Bereishis, Bara Elokim. The Ramban says that the word Bara in Lashon Kodesh means Yesh Miayin. Something from nothing. Correct? Now, there's the world famous question the Chassidus asks in many different places. How do we call the world something from nothing? If everything came from God, it should really be nothing from something. Right? Why is it called something from nothing? That means world is something and God is nothing. It should be the other way. So there's a pasuk in Shmuel that says, Kikel, it's said that after on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Kikel Deis Hashem. Hashem is a God of Deis, plural understanding. So Chassidus explains, there's what's called Das Elyon and there's Das Tachtin. There's God's perspective and there's world's perspective. World's perspective is, this is real. I see it, I touch it, I smell it, I hear it, it's real. God, in my understanding, is called Ayin, because I don't see him, I don't smell him, I don't hear him, I don't touch him, whatever. From Hashem's perspective, it's the opposite. From Hashem's perspective is, he is the real existence, and this is nothing. Our perspective is real, from our perspective, and Hashem's perspective is real from His perspective. Meaning, when we look at the red glass, from our perspective, the water is 100% red. As far as the water is concerned, the water's perspective, it's colorless. First of all, Tanya Dal Rebbe says it's not true. If it's emes on your level, if it's emes on your level, it's real. And I'll give you a simple, I'll prove it to you from simple logic besides halacha. A 5 year, 6 year old kid starts learning Chumash. Okay? And he learns, Bereishit Bara Elokim, in the beginning Hashem created heaven and earth. In Yiddish, in English, in French, I don't care what language. Yeah? The kid, he's a good student. He takes a test on Parshas Bereishis, and he gets 100% on the test. Does the kid know the Chumash? Yes or no? He got 100%. He knows the Chumash, right?
He knows it for a
fire. Rabbi Akiva and the greatest of minds don't begin to understand anything of it. Now, does that mean that the kid's knowledge is baloney and fake? And when the kid gets 100, you should tell the kid, I want you to know you don't know anything. And it's a fake, and it's bluff. No. Halachically, the person gets a mitzvah of learning Torah, of knowing Torah. What do you mean knowing Torah? He doesn't understand it. It's like the famous story of Bikiva Eger, who is known to ask unanswerable questions in the Gemara. Once came into a shul, and he saw a bunch of simple people sitting by a shir, and the teacher's teaching the Balabatim, a Gemara shir, and everybody's nodding their head, and they all understand the Gemara, and they close the Gemara, and they're all excited. They go home, and they know the Gemara. And he never starts crying. He said, look at this. They all understand the Gemara, and I don't. Okay? Halachically, they understood the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Eger, and the great scholar, didn't understand the Gemara. It's a different thing. On their level, they understand the Gemara 100%. They got 100 on the test. Is it real? Of course it's real. On their level, it's real. From their perspective, what's demanded from them, it's real. Do they understand it as well as the teacher? Well, sometimes. Do they understand it as well as the teacher? No. But from the teacher's perspective, the kids also are really understanding the Gemara. Even though the teacher may be a Torah genius scholar that understand and has questions on the Gemara that he himself doesn't understand the Gemara he taught to the kids. But from their perspective, they get a mitzvah of learning Torah, they understand it, and that's what it is. And it's real.
But you understand, you can take this concept and you can twist it and you can say, well, my reality says this, and my truth says this, and then you can change.
That is the free choice that God gave us to play around with reality. Right. So now the question is, so your question really, really has nothing to do with Shayyuch HaDamunah. Your question, forget, before we learn Shayyuch HaDamunah, is this holy?
Yes, but we can't see it.
So why is it holy?
We have it in the Torah. We take the word.
What is the definition of holy?
It's not revealed.
What's the definition of holy?
Elevated, it has
a no, holy means revealed. That's what the definition of holy is. Truth. Because our eyes are closed. That doesn't mean it's not holy. So what's the purpose? The purpose is that Hashem made Yesh Miyayin a reality. From our perspective, the world exists. The role of the Jew is to show that what is the Yesh to make it back into Ayin, to make it back into Lukas. So now we're doing it. We're doing the Avodah. We're putting the money in a trust fund. It's not usable until Mashiach comes. The Chassidus has the expression, it's Munach B'Kufsa. Chassidus says, it is revealed, but we don't see it. Is it revealed? Is it revealed to Tzaddikim? No, it is revealed. Now, What does it mean? By the way, it is revealed to us. Because any way you look at it, mitzvah gereris mitzvah. When you do a mitzvah, it's easier to do another mitzvah. Why? Because you were refined by doing that mitzvah. So it does have an impact on us, even though we don't say, wow, such a bright light shining. It has an impact on us in a revealed way, because it allows us and it's easier to do another mitzvah. By the way, you know, the word seeing is a very funny word in this aspect. To use a different phrase, does God talk to us? Yes. Yeah, when was the last time you heard him? You heard voices? Huh? That's right. So it doesn't mean he's talking to you with his mouth, but God is revealing himself to you by waking up in the morning. That's the insight.
You know, insight.
But God is talking to us by us waking up in the morning. You have to hear voices. Okay, anyway.